Humility is a very powerful thing. It is a great instrument in which God reveals the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you have met humble people who have impacted your life in a very unique way because of their humility. That happened to me when Connie and I, many of you know, some of you don't, we owned a recording studio before I entered into the ministry. And about 1 year into the start of that business, a man walked through my door by the name of Tim Lemons. He was the gentleman that was helping with our Christmas concert the last 2 years and has become my best friend. But Tim brought a friend with him, a young man that he met at a Bible camp. His name was Jake. And so as Jake was a great musician in his own right and a good singer, he had asked me to become an intern for our recording studio so that he could get more experience in the recording industry. And I said, great. It was free, and I could use the help. You know, it just seemed like a win-win situation. Jake's primary job outside of the studio was taking care of a quadriplegic man who sometimes was quite mean and very ungrateful for Jake's service to him. It was kind of interesting. Jake would sometimes get a little frustrated, and we would pray together. But as I grew to know Jake, and as Tim and my relationship continued, I found out by Tim, I think he slipped, I don't think he was supposed to tell anybody, but Jake wasn't being paid for this job. And so I looked at Tim, I'm like, okay, well, if this is his primary job, what does he do to make any money? How does he pay the bills? What does he do? And Tim kind of smiled and he chuckled and he goes, Jake's a millionaire. And I go, what? He goes, yeah. I go, this 20-year-old kid that has been in my studio for a year is a multimillionaire. He's like, yep. And yet this man, this 20-year-old man, chose to take care of this quadriplegic man who sometimes was very, very ungrateful. Today in our text, we're going to see the source of that type of humility because it only comes from one place. And we're going to be encouraged, all of us, to try to walk in that same humility. And so would you please stand as we read from God's holy word? I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, but we're only going to be primarily looking at verses 5 through 11. I just want us to get the context. Reading in Christ's name. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this incredible encouragement written by the Apostle Paul. We thank you for your holy word, and I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive the word that you have prepared before us. And so, Lord, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me. And so, Lord, encourage us. We thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. And everybody that agreed said, amen. You may be seated. So there's just two very brief things I'd like to highlight in this portion of Scripture. We're going to look at verses 5 through 8 first. Beginning in verse 5, it says, have this in mind among yourselves, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so in verse 6, Paul reminds us of the incredible truth that we'll never, ever fully be able to comprehend, that God became man. It is an incredible theological truth that I am very passionate about, and I could never unpack that, even if we were here for the next week and a half. It's just something we'll never understand. We should just be grateful. But God poured himself into a human and he took human form so that he could fully accomplish all that was needed to provide salvation to any and all who would call on the name of Christ for the salvation of their soul. As we consider salvation in Christ, though, we must acknowledge it's not just his death on the cross. It's his entire life, his perfect and sinless life, his full atonement on the cross, and also the resurrection 3 days after his death. And as we look at the entire work and person of Jesus Christ, it's his life, death, and resurrection that provides salvation. And the amazing thing about this to me is that he did this willingly. He willingly came down off of his throne, emptied himself, as the text says, became one of us so that he could save us. That's a pretty incredible thing. And that's why I really was thankful to be led to this verse. Because as we celebrate Jesus' birth, we do celebrate the great provision of salvation, don't we? The great person who is Jesus Christ. The phrase that we find in verse 6 means in the original language that the Bible was written into, emptied himself, that phrase emptied or poured out himself, means to completely remove or eliminate elements of high status or rank by eliminating all privileges or prerogatives associated with such a rank. So there's a big meaning behind that statement. He emptied himself. He completely removed and eliminated elements of high status or rank so that he could save us. And so even though Jesus is God, he took no advantage of his equality with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He willingly emptied himself of all status and privileges of being the second person of the triune God. And that's an amazing thing. But Jesus made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men so that he could provide salvation. And that isn't that really the greatest gift the world has ever seen? Isn't it the greatest gift in the entire universe that God himself became man, provided a way for us to be reconciled, to create that bridge, as Leo and Blanche read earlier, to bridge that great chasm that existed between God and man? What a Savior we serve. And as we look in verse 5, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paul is pointing us right back to verses 3 and 4. Another way that you could translate verse 5 would be in this way. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude of the mind of Jesus Christ. And so what was the mind of Jesus Christ? We see this in verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. You know, my intern did that, didn't he? Taking care of that quadriplegic man. And that humility came from Christ. But Christ did it. Doesn't this totally exemplify the cross? Verse 4 says, let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I think that very, very clearly describes Jesus. Believers who are followers of Jesus Christ are to follow Christ's example in verse 3 and 4, and we're never going to live up to it. But as Jesus provided salvation for us, he asked us to live a life that glorifies him as an act of worship to a holy and triune God who deserves our praise. Amen. Yeah, amen. The goal is that as we grow closer in our relationship with God, we act more and more like him and less like ourselves. That's really the goal, isn't it? Act more like him and less like ourselves. He is the greatest king the world has ever seen. He has provided the greatest gift the universe has ever known. I pray that each person under the sound of my voice has received him as Lord and Savior and is willing to walk in the strength and the mercy and the grace that he provides, because he is truly the greatest gift that Christmas has to offer. The final thing that we're going to look at is that Jesus is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Beginning in verse 9 through 11, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I think Paul was pretty complete there, wasn't he? He was pretty complete. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so this is a very encouraging, yet a very sobering text, isn't it? As we think about Jesus' second coming. Encouraging because those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, have been given this great gift of salvation in Christ Jesus and given this incredible promise of eternal life in the presence of the triune God forever and ever and ever. We will eternally dwell, believers in Christ, in the presence of the triune God, where there will be no more sin, no more sickness, and no more death. Can anybody say amen? Amen. And that's the great gift of Christmas, isn't it? That is the great gift of Christ. But the sobering aspect of this verse is for those who have not called on the name of Christ for the salvation of their souls. These promises aren't yet a reality in their heart. But I pray that God would be working miracles even right now, as the seed of the gospel would be planted in rich and fertile soil. Jesus has offered this great way out of a very hopeless situation. And that hopeless situation came about way, way back in time in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve committed that first sin. And because of that first sin, humanity has been infected with this sickness. And Jesus is indeed the healer. By Christ's stripes we are healed. By his atonement, his life, and his resurrection, we are healed, purged of that sickness. We are all born separated from God, and David, King David, even knew this. In Psalm 51, he writes, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so all of us are in need of a Savior like Jesus, every one of us. We cannot meet the requirements of a holy and righteous God to earn our way into heaven. We can't be just good enough. It doesn't work that way. It's a free gift, and this free gift is offered to anyone who is willing to open their heart to Christ. What I love about this fallen and sinful condition is that Jesus did something about it. Jesus has come to this earth to redeem humanity, and he has done something great. Jesus has provided the way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to eternal life. He is the Lamb that was slain on the cross at Calvary. He is the risen King and Lord, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is praying for each one of you right now, as Romans reminds us. He is interceding for you. That's how much he loves you. It's a love we will never understand. It's a love we'll never comprehend. But is it a love that we can reject? I hope not. I hope not. It is the greatest gift that humanity has ever seen. And I pray this great gift of salvation through Christ's life, death, and resurrection exists and reside in every single heart here today. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for your holy word, and Jesus, we thank you for the great sacrifice that you made coming to this earth, being born in Bethlehem as a baby, living the perfect life that we could not, suffering on the cross and paying the full payment of our sin, and then 3 days raising from the dead because we serve a risen and living Savior. Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, I know that we take this gift for granted, and so, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred. Our ears would be open to your word. And Lord, that as we celebrate your coming by giving gifts to one another, that each present that we do open this Christmas season, we will be reminded of the greatest gift that you have given us, that you have given all of humanity. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.